Hey, everybody. My name is Uncle Two Beard Jim. It's good to be here tonight. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm glad to know that today. Hey, I got to call one of our local members, one of our, I think say one of our local favorites. Her name is Tracy Joe, currently living in the small town of Visalia, California. But if you didn't know this, she's from the tiny little town of Fremont, California, right up near the Bay Area, where she was born and raised and grew up there. She got sober in Visalia back on April 7th, 2019. And we talked for a little while, but I'm sorry I almost got her to the meeting late. But she said today she's been, and I feel this way on many occasions, sledging the road of happy destiny. You know, sometimes during this, the COVID thing going on here, it's a little monotonous, but man, it's good to be here at a meeting tonight. So if we can absolutely give a warm Valley Group welcome to Tracy Joe, it would be greatly appreciated.
So, hi, everybody. My name is Tracy Joe, and I'm an alcoholic. Hey, it's great to see everybody. I scrolled through and checked out who was on here and watching your faces, and I found one or two that I'm going to talk to during this meeting. You don't know who you are, but I do. So okay. What it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I talked with Tammy last night for a little while, and you know, I'm a little bit worried. Well, I won't even start that way. That's just not even fair. I'll just start. I was thinking about it today, and you know, I stole my first cigarette when I was 5 years old. I stole a pack of my mom's cigarettes when I was 5 years old. So, you know, there was something already going on with this brain of mine. But what I didn't know when I stole that cigarette is it was her last one. I had no concept of what a last cigarette is, and which I do today. But wow, did she freak out? She just freaked out, and it freaked me out. And why that came up, why that's coming up first, I'm not sure. Just maybe to go back to how early on my alcoholic thinking started. Because I swore up and down that no, I didn't steal it. And she knew for sure that she hadn't smoked it. So, and I was the only one in the house, and you know, yeah. So the lying for me came really early. Really early on. And I did. I ended up having to fess up that night. And, you know, it started really young. And when I think back, I got my first horse when I was 5 years old. And that made me different as well from the people around me. And last thing before I ever had my first drink, my mom got jumped in our front yard when I was 5 years old. A lot of shit I was thinking about today. A lot of stuff happened when I was very, very young, and in a very short, condensed amount of time. And so between about 5 and 8 years old, my mom, she stayed in her room. She wasn't a part of my growing up life between about 5 and 8 years old, because it took her a long time. And I don't know that she ever did get over what she went through, but she didn't for a long time when I was little. And so I learned very, very young to be quiet, to be really quiet, to not be in the way, to I learned to become a part of the woodwork, basically. And it didn't help that I had a brother who was 5 years older than me and getting in trouble all the time. So I had to be or in my little brain, in my little mind, I had to be the good one. I had to be the perfect one. I had to be the one that didn't cause any trouble and didn't make any waves. that's just a little piece of my growing up history. So in the meantime, my dad was there, and I had the best parents ever. I have to say, I had the best parents ever. My mom, during that time, that between that 5 and 8 or 5 and 10 year old time, she went to AA for a little while. So I've known about AA for basically my whole life. Since I was a very young child, I've known that AA was there, and I've known that people who maybe had a problem or had trouble with drinking, with maybe drinking too much, went to AA. She didn't stay going to AA, but she would go for a little while. So I have this horse now, you know, I'm 5 years old. I have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I have this horse, and everywhere where I'm at, everyone is older than me, by 3, 4 years. I mean, some up to 18, and they're all girls. And so at a very young age, I was with a pretty wild bunch of girls. They liked to have parties, and because of the ranch atmosphere where I was at, I was always invited. I always got to go to those parties, and those girls liked to drink. So there you go, man. I was 10 years old the first time that I was actually at a party and got drunk. And the first time I got drunk, I couldn't drink enough from the very first time. I couldn't drink enough. And even when I knew I was drunk, when I knew I was out of my mind, because it's like the first time I drank was, that's how I drank for the rest of my life. I mean, I got drunk, I got sloppy, I was crying, I was just in and blacked out, and then came to, I got sick. It was like I had a whole drunkalogue my first drunk. It was crazy. It was crazy. When I look back. I don't recall how long it was between that time and the next time that I actually got drunk, but I know I didn't. I'm thinking it through as I'm talking. When I was 10 years old at this same ranch with these girls, I got into an accident. I don't put much faith in accidents these days, but I had an incident, and my horse ended up stepped on my face, on my head. And I had a fractured skull and a broken nose and spinal seepage. And if anybody knows what that is, they were pretty sure I was going to die. And so for 7 days, I was in the hospital at 10 years old. And I lived. I came through that. For whatever reason. But I ended up that ranch where I was at, that ranch wanted me to move because they were too worried about it, about the insurance or the liability. So I moved to another place, and it wasn't the same there. So between 10 and around, I don't know, 14, 15, I didn't drink much anyway. I'd get to hijack champagne at funerals, at weddings. When we go to weddings, I'd hijack the champagne. I loved doing that. And everybody else was off doing their own thing, so they didn't notice, and that's what I was doing. this carried on. We moved to Visalia when I was 12 years old. Like Jim said, or Uncle Jim said, I grew up in Fremont, California. And we moved here when I was 12. And I had lived in one place my whole life. And I did not handle it well. I didn't adjust well. I'm trying to, like, get rid of some time here. I'll do it now. So anyway, I didn't adjust to Visalia well at all. I didn't know anyone, and I still had a horse when I got here. And I retreated into my shell. I was gone. I was gone into my shell. And I started having depression. I started having bouts of depression at 12 and 13 years old. Just not equipped to deal with the world, with reality, with how to make friends or how to adjust. I just didn't adjust. I had no skills. I didn't have any life skills at 12 or 13 years old. I hadn't learned a thing. My mom was still drinking. So I started drinking in my room. I started stealing her, and my dad would have a glass of wine every night. That's all he ever had. He had a glass of wine or a beer every night. He had one every night, but that's all he ever had was one. And I, you know, there you go. That was Dad. I think he was drunk twice in my lifetime. He was drunk and sick, drunk and sick. So Dad was not a drinker, but Mom was still drinking, and Dad had his wine, which I started hijacking every night at 14 years old. I would sit. I was one of those people, man. I sat in my room in the dark with the music as loud as I could have it or headphones on and drank. And that was the way I was through high school. I made a few friends. I never really got past that, but of course my friends drank the way that I did. I had a few girlfriends, and I graduated really early. I graduated when I was 16 because I'm a November baby, and started kindergarten when I was 4. So anyway, yeah, I graduated when I was 16, and I got my first job out at Kmart, out at Death Mart, out on Mineral King, if any of you are still familiar with that. But I worked there, and I hooked up with some people that I still know today. In fact, that's where I actually live. I actually live with a girl that I worked with when I was 17 years old at Kmart. But that's another story. But we partied together a lot, you know, like 17, 18, 19, 20, up until I turned like 22, 23. We partied together a lot and got into other issues. And, you know, I started all that stuff. I was a young starter. I started young. I started everything young. And that's across the board. Everything I tried out at a young age. And when I look at 15-year-olds today, it just blows my mind that that's where I was at that time in my life that I was. So fast forward to now I'm 24 years old. I have a job. I work out at the airport. I work for an airline. I love my job, but I'm showing up drunk every day, and my shift starts at 4:45 in the morning. So not only am I showing up drunk, I am showing up, like, I mean, literally drunk along with other issues, and going out and starting up aircraft, working around moving props and, you know, just crazy. And that maintained for about a year. And well, me showing up in that state was only maybe, I don't know, 2 months, maybe 3 months, because a new person had started working and she partied like I did. So of course we got together and we were on the same shift. And so, well, we weren't on the same shift. She worked nights. See, so didn't work so good, but I was showing up at 4:45 in the morning, just wired to the gills and drunk. And my boss pulled me in and he said, this, no, no, this cannot continue. You either do something or go. And, so I went home and I drank three bottles of wine, and, I got up the next day and I called Alcoholics Anonymous. I, you know, that was when Central Office was in the phone book, and I went and I got the phone book because I knew I needed to do something. I didn't have any idea what, and I was completely and totally miserable. I didn't know how to change anything. I didn't know how, I was so ready to die. I was so ready to die. And so miserable. And I went and I got the phone book. I called AA and I went to a meeting that night. I was 24 years old. And I had no idea what to expect my first meeting. I had not a clue. And, I sat outside. It was the Alano Club. I went to the Alano Club over, it was on Santa Fe and Center. Santa Fe and Murray, right across from where the bus depot is now. And right across from Lum Lum's. It was real handy that way. Jeez, man. But, so I showed up that night and I walked into the door and there was this smoke filled room with, I don't know how many, gosh, there were a lot of people in there. There were probably like 45, 50 people in that room. Smoke-filled, just loud. And I walked in, and they had a counter, and there was this guy behind the counter, and his name was Lance, and he was laughing, and he had this big smile on his face. And he was the coolest guy I had seen in ever at that point. And I went in, I sat down, and I got through my first meeting. That was back in 1988. And what a ride that was. I went to a meeting every day back then, and much like I did this time around, but I also, I had a book. I read the book. I had a sponsor. I did my steps one time. I did my steps one time during my first, I was sober. I ended up being sober 15 years, just so that y'all know. For that, I was sober 15 years. I did my steps one time, and I never sponsored anyone that whole 15 years. I hope I'm not cutting out on y'all. I don't know. But, okay, good. So I also I met a man. At 90 days sober, I met someone and I hooked up. Tracy Joe hooked up, and you know, I was fixed. I was good. I was going to be all right now. And he was sober. He had 4 years sober. So he should have known better. I can still blame him. That's okay. we got together at 90 days. We got married when I had 18 months. And honestly, we're still married. But I haven't seen this guy in, 18 years, right around there, which he'll come up again later in my story. But, I got married. I had lots of friends. I loved my life. Sobriety was fantastic. I loved it. We ended up moving to the Florida Keys. I was talking to Jim about this earlier. We moved to the Florida Keys and we lived on a boat. We lived on a boat that freaking leaked. And if you've ever lived in Florida or ever been to Florida, it done. I believe I'm cutting out. Sorry about that, y'all. I don't know. it's, I guess it's my, my Wi-Fi, very possible. But, so yeah, we moved to Florida, lived on a leaky ass boat for a couple of years, and I, it was great. It was great. I still work for an airline, so I was able to travel between, between Florida and back to Visalia, where all my family was. And I had a career, I had a life, I had a fantastic life. I had a lot of fun. And it ended up, my husband had shoulder surgery, and he got on medication that they put you on when you have surgery, and he never got off that medication. He ended up relapsing after probably, I don't know, 60 days after his surgery, he relapsed. And that he had 15 years sober when that happened. And I was right at about 12. And, you know, he came home drunk one morning, and I had no clue. I had no idea that that's what was going on. I thought he was out sponsoring. I really did. And I don't know if you guys are hearing this, but yeah, I thought he was out sponsoring, and he came home drunk. And that was kind of that. He never did get any sobriety back, unfortunately, after that. And so fast forward, we moved from the Florida Keys. We moved to Arkansas, which, talk about culture shock. From Florida to Arkansas, there's just no comparison there. It is what it is. And so I still had a job. I still worked for the airline, and I got hurt. And I got put on medication that they put you on when you get hurt. And it just was no good after that. It was no good for me after that. I really keep cutting in and out, huh? Okay. So anyway, I got hurt, and I got put on meds as well. I had about 12 years of sobriety when that happened. And the next 3 years were just a nightmare. My husband was drinking, and I was on medication now. I wasn't drinking yet, but I wasn't going to meetings. I wasn't reading a book. I didn't have a sponsor. I hadn't had a sponsor in years. And so fast forward to now, 2003, whatever, I had 15 years sober. The husband was gone. I ended up drinking. I ended up getting drunk and staying drunk, staying drunk every day for the next 15 years. That was my life. I hooked up with who was drinking. I hooked up with who had the most availability for me to have alcohol whenever I needed it, whenever I wanted it. Because I didn't think that I needed it at that point, but I knew I wanted it. And so the roller coaster started, and I was on for the full ride. I started drinking in the morning, which I hadn't done that before, you know, because remember, I came in when I was 24, and there were a lot of yes. I had a lot of yes. And did I proceed to do those yes? Because I was definitely eligible to. And I started drinking in the morning and drinking on a daily basis and blacking out and drinking and driving, which I had been drinking and driving. That was part of my MO. Through the grace of God, I never ended up in jail. And you know, it's funny. I don't have a vehicle today. And for a very long time, for a long period of time in those years that I was drinking, I didn't have a vehicle. And I know that was God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself, because I drank and drove. That was what I did. That was my, yeah, I heard someone say I was drinking. I needed to be somewhere. I had to be somewhere. I was drunk. And, yeah, that was me. I would just go. And so, yeah, for a long time, I didn't have a vehicle when I was drinking. And I'm grateful for that today. So I was a mess. I was a mess. I was a mess. I was a horror story. I got to the point where I was in a really extremely toxic relationship. Alcohol was always around. And I'm still on medication, still mixing that stuff. And, you know, those doctors don't know. They put those little warnings on the side of the bottle. That's nothing. So, yeah, I've almost not come back several times after going too far with mixing my drugs of choice. But I did. I have. Anyway, I got to the point where I didn't shower. I didn't shower for months at a time. I was a disgusting human being to myself. I couldn't look at myself in the mirror anymore. In fact, my last drunk, I broke a mirror, and I was really, really in bad shape. My last drunk, I broke a mirror and ended up cutting myself pretty badly on purpose. And I was a pretty sick individual when I got back in here. That was almost a year before I got back in. But fast forward, I ended up on this friend of mine's couch, this place where I live. I ended up on her couch, fleeing that nightmare that I was in. And, needless to say, I had to cut down on my drinking. So my drinking cut in half when I got here. And so did my medication. And even then, even still, she was the one who one day said, you know, I'm really afraid I'm going to find you dead on my couch. Ah. And it was that day that I called a Lyft, because I still don't have a vehicle. I called a Lyft, and it's funny because the day before I had bought my alcohol for the month, because I'm planning ahead now because I have to, because there's no one there supplying me. So I had bought my alcohol the day before, and I knew when I heard that, I just knew that I was done. And I still had, I had a bottle of vodka, I don't know, with like about that much, and some apple whiskey in the closet, because I had become a closet drinker living over here. And I had those, and I thought, and I knew, I said, shit, if I drink these, I won't make it. I'll probably die. So I poured them out, and I grabbed up those bottles that were in the closet, and I called a Lyft, and I dropped those bottles off back at the store and got a refund on my way to the Sunday night meeting at the Creative Center. That was my first meeting back. And I remember Bill from that meeting, absolutely. I vaguely remember Bill from that meeting. And from that day forward, I had a sponsor a week later, 7 days later, I had a sponsor, I had a book, and I started working my steps. And God, was I miserable. I was in detox. I was in hell. I hated it. It was awful. I didn't want to get up. I didn't want to do anything. But I made two meetings at least a day, sometimes three, sometimes four, a day, every day, for 9 months. I can count on one hand the days that I didn't make a meeting in those first 9 months. And that's what I needed. That's what I needed. Because that's how I drank. I drank all day, every day, up until my last day drinking. And when I made it back here, it felt like, I can't even go into how it felt like right this second. I just knew that I knew I was going to be okay. I knew I was going to be okay. I knew that there was help here. I knew that I needed to keep coming. I knew I needed to do everything that everyone told me. That I was like a sponge. And those first 90 days, all I did was I worked on my first, second, and third step. I worked with my sponsor, and I went to meetings, and I prayed, and I meditated, and I read, and that's all I did. I didn't watch TV. And at about 90 days, something happened. I don't know how to explain what happened. But something happened, something changed, something twisted, and I wasn't in pain. I wasn't in pain anymore. And I explain it as I found my grateful. I found my grateful around 90 days, and I've done everything in my power to hold on. I've done everything that I can to hold on to my grateful once I found it. And that has taken, that's taken meetings every day. That has taken, I'm on my third sponsor, and she's here tonight. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful that you're here. And working with my sponsor, you know, we got together once a week, every week, and we went through that book. We went through this book line by line. And I mean, my book is all written. It's written all over. I need another book just so I can read the book. But we went through line by line, page by page. And, you know, it's funny. When I first came back, I had prayed for her. And I didn't even know I was praying for her, but I had prayed for her. I had prayed for someone to take me through the book, to take me, to walk with me through the book. And that's what I found. That's what I had. That's what was provided for me. And I am so grateful for that. I am so grateful for, I'm looking at Lynette. I lost my train of thought. But I'm looking at the faces that have been here since I walked in the door and that have been inspirations to me. You know, the women who are ahead of me by 9 months and 6 months and who walked through and did this stuff before me, and I got to hear their stories and hear the misery and then hear the grateful again and keep doing it, and I'm so grateful that they're still here. And I don't know what just happened, but I lost my train of thought all the way, so that's why I did take some notes. I was thinking about myself today. Oh, look at that. And I got to the end, and I didn't, this first time, look, I got to the end. I gone to the book line by line, and I'm still currently making my amends, so I'm still on my ninth step, but I work through, and I do my 10th and 11th and 12th. All right. Which that's where I'm getting to. But my sponsor says, you know, you need to get through that ninth step so that those ninth step promises can start coming true for you. And she's so right. You know, she is so right. I've gotten through a few. I'm still working on a few. Oh, yeah. And that's where that husband comes back, because, you know, I need to make amends to him. Really? No, but he's the one who screwed up. But no, you know, where I'm here, I have to take responsibility for making him responsible for my life. You know, that wasn't his job. That wasn't his job to make me be okay. And that's what I'm learning coming back in here today. I'm learning that it's my job. It's my job to rely, to trust and rely on my higher power to be okay today. And that's where I'm at, you know, in those promises where it says fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. You know, I've had several of those promises coming true. And I'm at that one of fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. And I'm finding out that I have a bit of a trust issue. What the hell? Who knew? And so people are like, what, you're just figuring that out? And yeah, I'm just figuring that out. I'm figuring out so much. And I'm so so grateful. It's like I'm growing up, you know. I'm 56 years old and I'm like a kid. I'm just growing up. And the cool part is I'm allowing myself to be a kid. I've been around you guys. I've been around you guys and you let me know that it's okay to let this person out to become the best Tracy Joe that I can be and to be that. And that's really what I'm doing my best to do today is walk through these steps. And I'm still walking through them every day. You know, that's what I'm doing every day. Thankfully, there are some in-person meetings that I'm getting to go to because I really missed that. I've missed that connection. And I'm really grateful that there are meetings and Zoom. You know, I'm grateful to you guys for being here tonight because I know I know how some of us feel about Zoom. And that's just all that I can say about that. But yeah, so. And also, as I walk through this, you know, it's time for me to give back, and I am looking for sponsees. So if anyone is out there and wants to go through the book and wants to do the work, I'm here, I'm available, and I would be grateful to work with you. So I hope that's done. I hope that's time. I hope that's long enough because that's all I got. So,
all right.